Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope. Good evening and welcome to Encouragementology. Thank you so much for listening tonight. We've got a little bit of a heavy topic tonight, but I'm going to try to make it light and airy, if that's possible. We are talking about overcoming loss. So I know you've had maybe a rough Monday go of it. So I hope that you're relaxing now and ready to open your mind and think about things maybe a little bit differently. Something in here might help you a bit. You know, not only is loss a part of life, but it's also a part of every day. Oh, that's heavy, isn't it? Every day you're losing time. You know, this can be precious, well-celebrated time or squandered, ill-managed time. The choice is up to you. What did you choose today? Life is a work in progress, so don't beat yourself up. We're going to talk through some ideas. You know, we're talking about overcoming loss, past, present, and future. Really, you can experience loss in all of those different phases. So I've got a couple of questions for you, two questions for each of these. You know, when you think about your past, you can revisit your past with regret, replaying all the mistakes and missed opportunities, or you can forgive yourself for the unquestionable choices you might have made and help your mind find the lesson that molded the person you are today. In this, find gratitude. So you have two choices, not questions actually, but choices. Two choices. Which are you going to do? Which one are you going to do with your past? Let's think about the present. You can let daily challenges stop you from experiencing the joy that awaits you, keeping you stuck in a cycle while the hours waste away. Or you can take each challenge for what it is, solving it or releasing it while you search for the good in the day. There's your choice. What about the future? You can spend time worrying about the unknown of the days to come, writing your future story based on the assumptions of today. Or you can realize that today is enough and you're learning and you're growing every hour, and with that comes progress and peace that will get you to where you need to go. Two choices. When you got up today, did you think about it that way? Take the time. When you woke up and thought about your day, 8 hours in the day, before you get home from work, another 4 or 5 before you go to bed, did you think about that time and the loss of time and what you could do with it to really make the most of it? You know, I want to give you just sort of a little parable to make you think about this. You know, two monks were on a pilgrimage. One day they came to a deep river. At the edge of the river, a young woman sat weeping because she was afraid to cross the river without help. She begged the two monks to help her. The younger monk turned his back. The members of their order were forbidden to touch a woman. But the older monk picked up the woman without a word and carried her across the river. He put her down on the far side and continued his journey. The younger monk came after him, scolding him and berating him for breaking his vows. He went on this way for a long time. Finally, at the end of the day, the older monk turned to the younger one and said, "I only carried her across the river. You've been carrying her all day." Something to think about. What have you carried around today? Not to mention today, what have you been carrying around for months, for years. What is keeping you from letting that go? How many times have you heard it? Just let it go. Get over it. But why isn't that so easy? You know, ruminating or getting stuck is a real thing. Psychological studies state that rumination seems to be correlated to cognitive incompetence and cognitive consciousness. It means that ruminating individuals are very well aware and conscious of their negative thoughts. They think about past experiences over and over and over, up to the point where their thoughts create their own reality, sometimes exaggerating or even differing from what really happened. Ruminators often believe that their rumination will help lead to solving the problem. But it really creates a loop where they get stuck in their own thoughts. Cognitive incompetence means that they cannot find a way out of this loop. Ruminating over the past means continually questioning, what went wrong? What's wrong with me? Now, if you're asking yourself questions like that over and over again, what's wrong with me? What did I do wrong? How could you possibly answer that in a positive way? Right? You're already looking for a negative answer. And will your answer be good enough? I had some rumination. I've got a little bit of history with rumination. You know, and it stems from trying to figure out what I did wrong, right? When there is no answer. Have you been in that cycle, in that loop? I had a friendship that dissolved. And, you know, I was just kind of thrown as to why it dissolved. I didn't see an answer for it. There wasn't a clear picture. Either I wasn't looking for it or it just didn't present itself. And instead of, you know, being bold and asking a direct question, I ruminated. I just thought over and over again, what did I do? I tried to go back through the friendship. Maybe something that I didn't see. Was there something that I did? Maybe I imagined a friendship being truer than it was. And this went on and on. You know, why couldn't I let that go? Why was I searching for an answer to something that didn't have an answer? And I finally realized I don't have as much control as I think, right? We think that we can control every situation and therefore we look for an answer as to what is the solution for fixing that. But sometimes we just don't have that much power. You know, I talk to women at Gateway, and I think I've mentioned that before, but I'm an addiction recovery coach as well as a life coach, and I run a women's outreach called Women Connect, and one of our meetings is in Gateway Drug Rehab in Carbondale, Illinois, and I get to meet with the inpatient women, and overcoming loss is a very, very real topic that we have to talk about. You know, I'm meeting with women that are now sober. You know, it's typically a 28-day program. You know, obviously they came in there not sober. And, you know, weeks in, days in, the reality of life really hits hard. And you start thinking of a lot that you need to make amends for or you need to overcome, a lot of loss. You know, it could be loss of definitely a job, of finances, of family, of loved ones, of children. And that's a big one, is waking up from this type of issue and realizing everything that you've lost. And the only way to move forward is to let go. So somehow you have to make amends for the loss. You know, how do you do that? In some cases, the only answer is you just leave it. You leave it and you step over it and you move forward and you realize you got another chance. And this time you can do things differently. This time you can spend that precious time that you're continually losing day in and day out to really study, learn about yourself so that you can make better choices. But at some point, you have to overcome the loss of your past and even your present. You know, you're picking in that situation for the women in the rehab, they're really starting new. And the present situation of facing 28 days sober and continually working on yourself is pretty exciting, but also really terrifying. So letting go is a huge topic. And in my case as well, I had to just get to the point of, I don't know. I don't know what went wrong. And maybe people move in and out of your life for all types of different reasons. And they bring things with them, they leave things with you, and in some points, you're the one that's giving and learning and teaching. And that's just the way it is. And then you move on, and you come in and you impact someone else's life. So it was a hard lesson to learn, but realizing that you can't fix everything. You can't fix your past. Your past is what it is. It's in the past. But you can learn. You can learn from it. And you can forgive yourself. That's so important. There's no way to overcome loss and move forward without forgiveness. You know, we're evolving. Hopefully, we're moving forward. We're getting smarter. We're learning more. So a lot of times, the things in your past, you know, you were a different person. You had a different thought process. You were younger, more immature, less experienced. There's no manual to life. You realize that, right? I know as parents, we kind of look for that, or we want to write it for our children. And when they leave the nest, hopefully we've covered absolutely everything that could possibly go wrong. But that's really not the case. Everybody's on their own path, their own journey, their own trajectory. And there's only so much we can do in leading that. You know, you won't always make the smartest decision. But if you take your time, you can learn from that. And hopefully, you can apply that when you're taking your next steps. So I want to talk about a public speaker, a motivational speaker, somebody actually a friend of mine cued me into. John O'Leary, I'm pretty sure he's from the St. Louis area, but if you have not heard of John O'Leary, you should definitely look him up. John has lived through worse than most can even imagine. At the age of 9, John was severely burned on 100% of his body. No one expected him to survive the very first night, but he did. He then survived months in a hospital bed, dozens of surgeries, and years of therapy. Before his 10th birthday, John lost all of his fingers to amputation. This wasn't the end. John's journey was just beginning. From this tragedy, John received the greatest gift, embracing the truth, and regardless of our personal and professional challenges, we choose how to navigate adversity through decision-making, reveal a brighter vision of what's possible, live boldly to impact others. As a boy in the hospital bed, John could not have foreseen the amazing things he would accomplish, but his journey proved more empowering and rewarding than he could have ever imagined. It gave him strength, it fueled him and drove him on, it provided hope. It taught him compassion and understanding, and it gave him a solid foundation for living. Some call John a survivor, but he is so much more than that. John O'Leary is a beacon of hope, and he's ready to share his message with you if you go visit him online. And you can also bring him to your work. He said, "I share these lessons as a tribute to those who leapt into the flames to save me, who worked tirelessly to restore me, who pushed me to write though I no longer had fingers, who held me close when the days were dark and the nights were scary. I share these lessons as an invitation for you to choose to wake up to the fullness of your life, to embrace the amazing gifts of each moment, and to celebrate the joy of your inspired life. As I share these lessons, sparks will leap. Sparks that can renew you with hope, purpose, perspective, faith, and love. Sparks that remind you that one person, one action, one word does indeed make a difference. Sparks that liberate you from excuses, destructive cynicism, limiting beliefs, broken relationships, and lousy results. And sparks that, when united, ignite us together toward an extraordinary future. Isn't that amazing? I love how he uses sparks. I mean, it's so telling to what he went through, but he now believes little beacon of hope, little sparks that he says will ignite something in someone else. And that really spoke to me, because that's exactly what I do with my coaching and my groups. I'm just looking to deliver a spark, something that might give you a different perspective, something that might ignite something in you. You know, John now lives to share his story and spark the stories of others living boldly, so that together we can forge an extraordinary future by finding the possibility in the present. Today, we get to accept conditions as they exist, or finally accept responsibility for changing them and making them better. And that's how we can overcome our present. He gives a couple of ideas, which I think are great, and just really speak to how you can embody this hope and really work at overcoming any sort of present challenge. It starts by slowing down, slowing down from the race of life and remembering who we are and what actually matters. In our hyper-competitive and uber-busy worlds, misfortunes force us to pause long enough to consider the reason we are alive, the impact we can make, and the real success and what that actually means. Isn't that so true? Sometimes it takes a devastating tragedy to really spark a message about the future. You know, so many people say, live like you are dying, or live like this is your last day, or once I recovered, I knew I really needed to live life to its fullest. Why does it take a tragedy? Why can't we live that way every day? Why are we just coasting through life, run down, full of regret, waiting for that tragedy to ignite a spark? You know, prompting us to know we cannot work or play or live or lead or impact or love by ourselves. In the midst of crisis, we often realize we're stronger than we thought. Yet we also feel with certainty that we're intended for community. We're intended to reach out and share this with others, igniting within us the critical characteristics of perspective, patience, passion, empathy, gratitude, and acceptance of faith. These traits that matter most on the journey can be diminutive when life goes perfectly as planned, but are fanned into a flame during seasons of adversity. You know, when things are going right, we don't think about those things. You know, when are you looking to your higher power when things are not going well? What about when things are going great? Owning the parts of life we can control and letting go of the stuff we can't. Our personal trials remind us of how little control we have on many issues that bother us, and also of the limitless capacity we have to own our thoughts, prayers, beliefs, words, and next steps as we continue the journey forward. Living with heightened compassion and gratitude rather than narrow disappointment and cynicism. Let's face it, when we are let down in life, it becomes easy to be jaded. But in the aftermath of a trial, our egos are lessened, our connections with others are intensified, our gratitude expanded, and the movement of our lives poignantly seeking something greater than ourselves. How many of you are nursing your wounds from today? Are you still licking your wounds? You got beat up at work? I mean, it is Monday, a day of transition when we try to get back in the saddle and make another go of it. how many of you started your day like John did with gratitude? Strategically planning your day, making time for yourself, making time to be thankful, making time to appreciate. Did you do that today? Nope. I bet the alarm went off and you thought, oh my gosh, it's Monday. Another work day, another work week, you know, and you probably got up a little bit grumpy. It's very difficult to start your day thanking the universe for another chance. You know, preparing yourself for losses and challenges through the day. It starts with first understanding what's going right, right? Coaching yourself, telling yourself, okay, today's going to be a good day. You know, I know things are going to be thrown my way. I know I'm going to have that Monday morning meeting. That's okay. That's okay. I can get through that Monday morning meeting. I'm prepared. I've got all my stuff ready. No worries. We can do this. Big breath, right? I'm going to coach myself on my reaction because I'm not going to let one thing derail me today, right? I'm going to take care of, I'm going to value that time that I have. I've only got so many hours in the day, and I'm going to really value those. Right? What will you let your perception of today look like? Is it going to be the good stuff? Is the good stuff going to pop out first? Or is it the bad stuff? You know, how many times are we going through the day and we're so prepared, everything's going to go great. We didn't quite give ourselves enough armor, you know, with our gratitude and our appreciation and our preparedness for challenges. And all of a sudden we hit a challenge head on and bam. Oh, this has been a bad day, right? All we can do is focus on that challenge. Oh, they didn't go well. We forget all the other stuff. Challenges, tragedy, and loss happen. And they happen to us every day and all around us. You know, my best friend has faced a lot of adversity in her life. It started out when she was in a car wreck when she was 15, and she was paralyzed. And she still graduated valedictorian of our class after spending a year in the hospital. You know, she had another wreck later in life and lost sight in one eye. She recently suffered the passing of her father. Loss after loss, not only her father, but also her aunt and her uncle, all in a very, very short time span. You know, I was talking with her because she's always so, so positive. And I thought, how do you do that? How do you overcome so much adversity just continually thrown at you? And let me tell you, I mean, there's obviously sadness. I'm not saying that she's rubber and just going to bounce back. But she said something to me that I'll never forget. She said, life keeps moving. It doesn't stop for me. It doesn't stop for my tragedy or my sadness. It keeps going. And if you don't pick up the pieces and go with it, you're going to be really far behind. I want you to think about that. It's pretty deep, and it's something that I know I will carry with me for the rest of my life. You know, there are countless daily challenges in life that drain us of energy and make us react in ways that we dislike or regret. Being caught in traffic can make us go into a rage. Receiving a snide comment or being unappreciative can make us ruminate and sulk endlessly. And receiving negative feedback can sometimes throw us into a downward spiral, right? It's all we can think about. First of all, we need to ground ourselves, right? Ground yourself. When you're angry or upset, your heart starts to race, your blood starts to pump, and our breath becomes quick and shallow. To calm this sort of fight or flight response, we need to connect to our breath and really stabilize ourselves, ground ourselves, start breathing slowly and deeply. In his fascinating book, The Self Comes to Mind, neuroscientist Antonio Dismaso, talks of the inner world as the lens through which we see our outer world. When our inner world is in turmoil, our perception changes and our fears can blow everything out of proportion. How many times do we do that? One thing happens and we just can't stop our mind. And before we know it, we're having a panic attack. Or we're just overly worrying with all the what ifs, right? Breathe. Give yourself a minute. Think of your ideal self. In each of us, there lies a yearning to live up to our highest possible version, right? In the happiness hypothesis, psychologist Jonathan Haidt writes about a moral dimension that we as humans aspire towards. When we react in ways that are contrary to this desire, we create a gulf where guilt, stress, and disappointment can breed, affecting the pursuit of what we truly want out of life. We get stuck. Our expectations are so high and we're already disappointed, so why try, right? We've already blown it. Appreciate the goodness in others. It's easier to forgive others and let go of grudges if we believe that they have inner strength that are valuable and worthy of appreciation. Strengths spotting is a great positive psychology exercise that enables us to do so. So does the realization that human goodness is innate and can be harnessed in the interactions we have with others. When we help others connect to their goodness by believing in them, we also strengthen our own virtues, right? Here's your cue. Connect with someone else, understand what they're going through, and encourage them. Encouraging them will give you strength. Embody grace. The research on embodiment over the past few decades has placed the body as our central to all of our everyday experiences. Our physical responses are in reaction to our reality, but they can also construct our reality when we embody the grace with which we wish to rise to, right? Through our gestures, our posture, our tone, our expressions, we make it easier for ourselves to think, feel, and behave in a way that are in line with our best possible selves. Envision that. You can live up to that when we embody that grace. Open up to the world. Once we've calmed down the immediate urge to react, right? The best way to keep ourselves from mulling over the experience is by stepping out of our own little worlds, by giving to others with empathy and compassion, and by belonging to something larger than the self. We satisfy a very real human need for connection. Our fears have been an essential part of our evolutionary trajectory. They've ensured that we survive long enough to pass on fear, fear genes to the other future generations. However, somewhere along the journey, we've also acquired the need to connect with others and to make a difference in the world. It's in answering this need that we can respond gracefully to daily challenges. We need each other. We need people to understand us. We need to feel connected, respected, part of something, right? Connect with somebody. It's so, so important. Have you ever got stuck in, you know, as we talk about overcoming the future, I don't want to miss the show and end the show without talking about the future. It is so important to temper our worry, right? Have you ever done the what ifs? What and if? Two innocent little words and perfectly harmless on their own, but when you put them together, kaboom, a catastrophic chain of reaction. What ifs? Worrying is the type of thinking that's often responsible for the feelings and emotions we experience as anxiety, right? Worrying can be useful when used to find a solution to a well-defined problem. However, worrying is all too often applied to problems that are way too vague, too distant to ever be solved. Thinking soon becomes negative and extreme, throwing up lots of possibilities. What if? What if this happened? What if that happened? This is going to create helplessness, overstimulation, incongruity, unpredictability. Stop the story where the fact ends. isn't that difficult to do? The imagination knows no bounds. And when you really put your mind to it, I bet you can conjure up almost anything, an infinite number of possible disasters. The thing is, only one outcome will actually happen, and it probably won't be one that you thought of. An awful lot of thinking and planning has gone to waste, and that's why it's much better to postpone any of that sort of negative thinking until the problem actually presents itself. You know, how many times you're telling a story, you don't have the ending, right? You've only got a story up so far because things are still evolving, things are still happening. And all of a sudden, you careen off the road, into the ditch, down the ravine, car catches on fire, rolls over, nobody gets out, right? Now that's just a metaphor, but why does our mind immediately go there? Or we start putting in all, well, what if this happened? Oh, I bet that did. I'm pretty sure that probably happened. We think we know all the answers. And it's because as humans, we just can't leave a cliffhanger. We have to know. And if we don't have the answer, then we create it. The problem is we don't create the most rosiest of endings, right? We just grab whatever it is. We don't have enough of the future to predict what's going to happen. There's no way we can finish that story, and who would want to, right? Leave it open-ending. Be okay with the unknown. That seems more exciting, doesn't it? Anything's possible. Nothing is predetermined. Every day is a new chance to alter our future, change our direction, go down a different path. The other problem with worrying is it moves us forward. We're not in the present. And remember when I started the show, I talked about we're constantly losing time. Imagine how much time you lose living in the future, worrying about the future. What happened to the present? You know, we need to focus on the present. Now, if you find yourself doing that and just your mind is careening off course and you're coming up with all these different things that possibly could happen and things to worry about, nothing's materialized yet, take a breath. If you catch yourself in the act, you're using a different part of your brain, by the way. So wake it up, catch yourself in the act, take a breath. By taking a breath, you take a pause, and a pause gives you chance to sort of figure out your next move. When you're just reacting and you're going from one thing to the other and you're spinning out of control, you don't have time to make good choices. You don't have time to sort of rewind and pull yourself back, right? So take a breath. This calms you down. Then notice your hands. Move your hands. Notice your fingers. Maybe wiggle your toes, move your feet. Roll your shoulders. What that does is bring attention to the body, and it will transport your mind back into the present. Okay, so do it with me now because you've been listening to me, so you've probably been kind of off on this overcoming loss journey. Big breath in. Now, stretch out your fingers, wiggle your fingers, move your feet around. You might have already kicked off your shoes. So that's okay. You'll be able to feel the floor with your toes or the bed, wherever you are. But move them around. Now let's roll our shoulders back. And now you're there. You're back in the present. And that is so important to do. It's so important to do that, not only when you're focused on the future and brainstorming and careening, but anytime you're having a moment and you're worried about your reaction, right? Something happens and you go to react very knee-jerk. Take a moment, take a breath, notice your body, come back into it for a moment, and then you can make a really qualified next step, right? Remember, the only thing we don't have enough of is time. So let's not waste it. Let's not waste it worrying about our past, something that we can't change, or, you know, worried about the challenges or the tragedies that we might face today, and definitely not foreseeing and creating some sort of future ending for ourselves. Let's stay present. Let's look for gratitude. Thank you for sticking with me tonight. We have talked a lot about overcoming loss, and I know that might be a heavy subject, but I hope I gave you a little bit of freedom, some different alternatives, some different perspectives to get over that. You know, it's not easy, and this is the time in the show where I just kind of like to recap a little bit of what we talked about. And we talked about the fact that, you know, things happen every day, every hour. You know, it's how we react to that. It's how we prepare for that. You know, knowing that that's a reality is something that we can prepare ourselves for. Also, realizing there's a past, present, and a future, and letting go of things we cannot change, we have no control over, is a huge, huge part of that. You know, take your inspiration from some of the people I mentioned tonight who've really seen a lot of adversity, could have given up and said, you know, my hands were dealt early in life, and I really, it's, you know, the universe is telling me something. Maybe I shouldn't take a step out. Maybe I shouldn't try to be inspirational or encouraging to someone else. But instead, they took that as fuel and lit a fire, so to speak, and really used that for the good. You know, you have an opportunity. We all have an opportunity to impact people in our lives every chance we get. We can step outside of our issues, our challenges, and what we're dealing with, and really look to help someone else. That is a great first step. Try starting with just a smile. You know, smile at someone that you meet, even if you have to fake it. I've talked about this before. You can fake a smile. What happens is the person that you're looking at doesn't know you're faking it, so they smile back, and as a result, you smile because their smile is genuine. And now you've smiled, and you get a joy injection. So you want a joy injection? Fake smile at someone tomorrow, even if you don't feel it, and see if it doesn't turn you around. And you can also help them. You know, letting go can be difficult. Letting go of people, ideas, expectations, desires, letting go of bad habits, false beliefs, unhealthy relationships, the list can go on and on and on. Every day, every moment presents an opportunity to create ourselves anew, to shrug off the baggage of the past, open ourselves up to the possibilities of the moment, and take action to create an incredible future. So I challenge you, choose to value your time as a precious gift. Evaluate anything that threatens to steal that and replace it with worry, anxiety, or fear. Stay present and realize loss is inevitable, but grief is temporary if you work through it. I know you can do it. Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges. Stumble through until the path was clear. That's when I found you, and how I wound up here.